It's not happening now.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Congress will not be bailing out the automakers. Not this year. As you may have heard, the Senate shot down the $14 billion package last night. But just a bit ago, the White House said it might step in. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
The Bush administration is considering tapping into the $700 billion bailout meant for Wall Street. The White House says it would be irresponsible to let the industry fail. Meanwhile, the finger-pointing has begun on Capitol Hill. Democrats say the auto bailout failed because of Senate Republicans. Republicans wanted a guarantee that United Auto Workers would lower Big Three wages by the end of 2009. The UAW refused.
Make no mistake, this morning there is no bailout because of the UAW, not because of those Republican senators.
Peter Morisi is an economist at the University of Maryland.
I'd like to know why a waitress making $12 an hour, $30,000 a year in Indiana, should send her tax dollars to Washington to subsidize someone earning $80 an hour and who gets generous retirement and severance and benefits she will never see.
UAW President Ron Gettelfinger points his finger at Southern senators he calls anti-union and anti-Detroit. No word yet on when the White House will make a decision. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Some of the fallout from the Senate vote. The dollar hit a 13-year low against the yen this morning. Oil fell below $45 a barrel after gains yesterday. Honda announced production cuts in North America. And stock markets everywhere are down. In the early going, the Dow is down 154 points to 8410. That's about a percent, 1.8%. The Nasdaq is down 20. The S&P 500 is down 18. In Japan, the market fell 5.5%. European shares are down 3-4%, even though the EU announced a $260 billion stimulus package. We're joined now by David Buick. He's with the Cantor Index in London. David, there's obviously a lot of angst in the markets. What's the biggest concern?
It's the realization that, frankly, the U.S. auto industry has been living in the dark ages for the last 20 years, and there is a grave concern. They're not going to be in a position to provide radical plans for Congress by the end of March, because this is a huge industry. It probably employs 2 million people. Mm-hmm. So it is a very, very serious issue. It's not just Detroit. It's effective UK, China, India. It's a dramatic problem.
What do you think is the best scenario for the car makers at this point?
Scott, you won't want to hear this.
Okay.
But should I tell you?
Yes, please.
I would do everything if I was President-elect Obama in my power to make sure that the banks were strong as quickly as possible, because banks don't want to carry on lending money to a lame duck, do they? But what Mullally and his colleagues, Nardelli and Wagoner, have to do, and they have to do it quickly, is they have to agree massive redundancies and huge cuts. And however devastating it is for Detroit and the surrounding areas, you have to take some remedial action.
David Buick from the Cantor Index, thanks for joining us.
It's a great pleasure.
This is the Morning Report for Friday, December 12th on Marketplace.org. I mentioned that the EU announced a stimulus package today. Well, now we have more details on that from Megan Williams.
Europe is in a full recession, so the $270 billion deal is aimed to bring up employment numbers and trigger growth. It would use everything from investment strategies to tax cuts and vary from country to country. But until now, Europe's biggest economy, Germany, has been reluctant to commit more money. It's already passed its own $43 billion stimulus package and fears taking on too much debt. Recently, it quibbled with the UK over its move to cut a value-added tax, something Germany is avoiding. Eurozone experts say despite diverging opinions, European leaders will likely reach a consensus today. They say there's no motivation like a deepening recession to inspire more cooperation. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
We got some information on prices this morning. Wholesale prices fell more than 2% in November. It's the fourth straight month of declines. Obviously, it has a lot to do with gasoline. And prices are dropping on commodities big time. You know about oil, but coal prices are down 60% from the summer. That might be bad news for green energy. Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
Coal is a main ingredient in steel, and right now nobody's buying much steel to make cars and buildings. So the price of metallurgical coal to make steel has melted, and that affects prices for so-called thermal coal, the cheaper stuff power plants use. Jim Thompson edits the Coal and Energy Price Report.
Metallurgical coal not going to steel makers then is available for electric utilities to purchase, which obviously causes the price of thermal coal to go down as well.
But cheap coal gives utilities less incentive to invest in cleaner energy like wind. Even in Europe, where emissions from power plants are capped, coal now looks appealing. Analyst Jeff Allen is at ICF International.
The cheapness of it even makes up for the penalty that companies have to buy these allowances.
That means some European utilities might just buy more carbon emission permits rather than switch to something greener. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
There's a new TV ad that caught our attention. It tells people they should spend their money at the store instead of shopping online. Ashley Milne-Tite looked into it.
Lee Baldock runs two gift stores in Reno, Nevada. He says consumers don't often consider the trickle-down effect of shopping locally.
If you shop with me, I pay my staff. My staff goes to the local restaurant and spends their money. So you know, the money stays in the neighborhood.
In its ad, the International Council of Shopping Centers prods consumers to think about their local economy.
With much of local government's revenue generated by sales tax, municipalities are bracing for a shortfall this holiday season.
So the ad suggests it's almost your civic duty to shop, as long as it's not on the internet. Mike Kercheval is the council's president.
We, first of all, hope that the guilt of shopping, in a way, will be absolved a little bit. Someone would say, well, I'm doing a good thing for my community.
He says pricking consumers' consciences is a first for his group, but tough times call for innovative tactics. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Now, on that bank lending thing, money keeps pouring into the credit markets. Today, Japan promised almost $150 billion in capital to banks for lending. But a new report says, are you ready for this? There really isn't a credit crunch. There's a deep recession, obviously, but the credit markets are fine, according to a consulting firm, Salent. Keep in mind, the Fed and the Treasury have focused a lot of their efforts and our money on solving the credit problem. We're joined now by the report's author, Octavio Morenzi. Octavio, what do you base your conclusions on?
Mostly from the Federal Reserve itself. So the vast majority of the numbers that we used in this report actually come from the Federal Reserve. And in area after area, what we found is that really a lot of the lending, a lot of the things being said about the credit crisis or the nature of this financial crisis aren't borne out by those numbers. So we found that bank lending is at a record high. Consumer credit is at a record high. Interbank lending is at a record high. All these things that we've been told have basically dried up are actually flowing quite well.
So are you saying that a few bad apples among the banks have caused all of this uproar about credit?
I would say that's probably what's happening, that a few very large institutions are in financial difficulty. They're having a hard time obtaining credit. And if you look at the panel of banks on the LIBOR rate, more than half of them I would put in that category. Now, there are a lot of banks out there who didn't make bad bets, who didn't get very involved in the subprime markets, and they're doing quite okay. And they have no shortage of credit for those kinds of institutions. And in fact, when you talk to businesses or consumers or people like that, I think you'll find that the vast majority of people who are credit worthy are not having any problems getting credit.
So what's the situation here? Are the Fed and the Treasury either A, misinformed, or B, misleading us?
I'm not saying either. I don't want to accuse them of not telling the truth. I think they're analyzing the situation and coming to conclusions about it, but I don't see where that information is coming from. And even economists within the Federal Reserve aren't seeing where they're coming to these conclusions either.
Okay, then the bottom line is, if it's not access to credit which is causing this financial mess, what is?
Well, what's causing the financial mess is that a number of institutions took very, very large risks and got caught. So they lent to the wrong people, they lowered their lending standards, and they've lost lots of money as a result of it. But I would point out it's not all banks that did that. There's a large number of banks that did not do that. But unfortunately, amongst the top banks in the country, there's a fair number who got caught in that trap.
Octavio Morenzi from Salent, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Tom.
And even that LIBOR rate is falling. It's down to less than 2% this morning, which is a four-year low. Of course, that's the interbank lending rate in London. And this just in from the Treasury spokeswoman says Treasury is ready to act to help the automakers. We'll have more on that in our afternoon program. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.